Before you're seated, let me read the text to you, 1 Corinthians 1:9. It says, God is faithful by whom you are called under the fellowship of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and be seated in his presence. Let's give our worship team a big hand. They did such a great job. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Tom and company. And so we see in the Word of God that we've been called into fellowship or to live in the presence of God. And one thing about the presence of God, we don't work our way into God's presence. It is not something that we earn. It is someone that already lives on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And so living in His presence is not about earning it, but it's about turning toward it. One precious lady said it this way, living in my presence does not come by earning, but by turning. No one has ever turned toward me, and I have not met them there. Amen. So there is power in turning to Him. That means a conscious shifting of our attention toward God, paying attention to Him, turning from doubt to the author and finisher of our faith. Turning from fear to the fearless one. Turning from insufficiency to the all-sufficient one. Turning from our lack to his abundant supply. Turning from our weakness to his strength. And turning to the Lord can just be as simple as this. Thank you, Lord, in the middle of your day. Or pausing to acknowledge his presence before making a big decision. Now, there are barriers to living in the presence of God, one of which is busyness. We talked about Martha a couple of weeks ago. Another one is guilt and condemnation. You see, shame pushes us away instead of drawing us near to the Lord. And then there are the distractions, if you will, or the cares of this life. Now, none of these barriers disqualify you or me from entering into His presence. All of them can be simply overcome by turning to Him. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. And so there are great benefits of dwelling in His presence. How about this one? Fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Another one is perfect peace. He said, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. And then there's rest for your soul as you come unto Him. He will refresh you. He will bring you into a place of rest as you trust Him and as you believe Him with all of your heart. Yes. And then thank God there's victory over the enemy. Yes. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. My God, in you I trust. Amen. Yes. So live and dwell in the 91st Psalm. Amen. Now, one thing that we really need to center in on today, and that is this, that our God is a God of order. He is not a God of confusion. He is not a God of disorder. He is a God of order. Have you ever noticed how many things in the natural realm are out of order? You go to the gym and you want to work on a certain place in the gym and you see out of order. What does that need? It needs maintenance. You go to the restroom and unfortunately it's out of order. You go to wash your hands and the faucet is out of order. You go to the elevator and you're on the 35th floor and both elevators are out of order. What do they need? They need some maintenance. How about this one? I mean, you've got a printer at home. You need to get this document sent out. And you go to print it, and all of a sudden, you get a paper jam. What do they need? They need maintenance. And in our lives, if we're honest about it, all of us need maintenance. Because sometimes things get out of order. Life can get out of order. Our priorities can get out of whack. When work crowds out family and leisure time replaces our time for God, we're out of order. In the financial realm, if we're overspending and debt is piling up and we're not keeping track of where the money goes, we need some maintenance. In the area of health, we need rest. We need exercise. We need to eat right. We should not be running on empty physically. Amen. anything that's out of order can be fixed. And you are the one that needs to submit yourself to the Word of God and say, I'm ready to go into the shop. I'm ready to get fixed. Amen. And we could go on and on and on about things that get out of order. Whatever is out of order in our lives, what do you say we fix it? Amen. Don't tolerate it. Put a sticker on it that says out of order. And put your work clothes on and do some maintenance. Martha was out of order. Mary's sitting at his feet. And Martha is careful and troubled about many things. Anxiety in her life. You and I were not created for worry. Is it true or is it not true? The absence of peace is the product of a wandering mind. We need to get it fixed. Look with me at 1 John chapter 1, if you would. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Everyone say the word of life. Then it goes on to say, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may also have what? Fellowship. That you may have fellowship, that you might have koinonia with us. And then he goes on to say, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now notice with me, he didn't stop there. In the context of talking about koinonia, a sharing and a companionship with one another, we also have fellowship with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, now if you will do these things, and if you will live to live in the presence of God, notice what the next verse says. Ready, read. And these things we write unto you. You can do just a hair better. That your what?
Joy.
That's it. That your joy may be full. If you are going day to day with no joy, something is out of order. We are not created to be a joyless people. We are to be full of joy. With a full tank of joy, because the joy of the Lord just happens to be your strength. Don't drive through your life void of joy. Don't live on empty. Live in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Live in the fullness of the Word of God. What do you say we get it fixed? And you don't fix it with food. Ladies, I'm sorry, but you do not fix a joyless life with shopping. You do not fix it by going to the cannabis shop. I'm sorry, but marijuana does not fix joy. Bud Light, Pabst Blue Ribbon, Jack Daniels, all of those drinks, they do not fill you with joy. They fill you with heartache. They fill you with headaches. They fill you with sorrow. You do not fix joy by having illicit sexual relationships. You do not fix it that way. Joy only comes in and through Him. It's a very, very easy fix. I want to talk to you this morning about the three C's of fellowship. The three C's of fellowship. There's actually four, but I don't think I'll have time to get to the fourth one. How many of you are believing with me today? These things that I'm sharing with you have the ability to change your life forever. Change is a good thing. Being aware that you need to change is a great thing. That's what I did back in the 70s. When I hit my bottom, I didn't stay on the bottom. I looked up. And I found that my answer was in Jesus Christ. And our answer is only in Him. And when you come to Him, He puts you in Him. And when you are in Him, you have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge to live an overcoming life. Hallelujah. Shout it with me. I'm in Him. He's in me. So the first C we want to look at is communication. And we see it in Philemon verse 6. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Notice this, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now that word communication is the same word we just found in 1 John chapter 1, where he talks about fellowship. It is koinonia. Without communication, friends, there is no fellowship. You're created in the image and likeness of God. You are, in fact, a speaking spirit. Now, what does this mean? That means that you and I have the ability, what no other created being can do. We have the ability to speak. Whoo, glory to God. So I want to encourage you to dig deep in your heart. It's like what Brenda was talking about in the area of giving. It's like what we were doing in worship. We are digging deep in a heart. And we were bringing up words that express our appreciation. And express our gratitude to the Lord. How many of you know that fellowship with one another can be very rich? Fellowship with the Lord can be extremely rich. Let's just use this illustration in the home setting. The husband gets home or the wife gets home and the question is asked, well, how was your day? Fine. Good. I'm here to tell you this, that in a marriage relationship, in a friendship relationship, and in a relationship with God Almighty, fine and good is not fine and good. Some of you husbands are under conviction right now. A friendship or a marriage without communication is very dry. So use your fellowship, use your words with one another. And use your words with God to go deeper than just fine and good. You see, when we look at the word koinonia, we're talking about a sharing. We're talking about an active sharing. Something wherewith we must use our words. Bringing expression up from our heart. You and I were created for fellowship. God made His man Adam. Eve came along. And He walked with His man in the cool of the day. And then they committed high treason. And so God came down and said, where are you? He knew where they were. But what was God looking for? He was looking for fellowship. He was hungry. Friends, the richness of your fellowship with Him depends on how deep you want to go with His word. And how deep you want to go in worship. The second C describes this in a little bit different way. The second C we're going to look at today is communion. Everyone say communion. Communion. Well, where do we get that verse from? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, let's read it together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And say a hearty amen.
Amen.
That's the same word for fellowship that's translated communication is also translated communion. We have some understanding of communion in this house, do we not?
Yes.
I mean, we receive communion once a month. But you know, communion is more than a wafer. I had someone ask me the other day, what's the difference between communion in the Catholic Church and where you have communion? And I'm not here to put any religion down or anybody down, but what I said, in our church, communion means wholeness. It means fellowship. In our church, when we receive the bread, we honor the fact that his body was broken for us. You see, in communion, in this house, we are using our words. It's more than a ritual. You see, communion is like an exchange.
Yes, it is.
Exchanging your thoughts, exchanging your words. When I think about communion, I can not help but think about the great exchange. Woo, glory to God. He was made sin for you, that you, through his sinfulness, might be made the righteousness of God. He took your disease upon his body. He took your lack and poverty upon his life. He was the one who exchanged all that he had to give us all that he is. Woo, glory to God. And so we never want to take communion lightly. Oh, it's time for communion. Okay. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. No, no, no. Bless the Lord. Come on, bring it up from here. Oh, my soul. And all that is within me. There's an exchange that's taking place. Hallelujah. And so it is in a relationship with one another, in our relationship with our friends, in our relationship with the Lord. There is an exchange. This is deep stuff, folks. We don't do these things casually. We do not come to church to check the box. What we're here to do is exchange intimate thoughts to him. Just let him know how much you love him. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all of my strength. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I love my neighbor as myself. Woo, glory to God. Brenda had a great message. It was a master class last Sunday on love loves me. When you know that love loves you, you'll start loving yourself, and it'll be easy for you to love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, glory to God. So this is communication on a deeper level. On a higher level. Amen?
Amen?
Here's some ways that we can grow in our intimate fellowship with the Lord. Acknowledge his presence daily.
Amen.
Secondly, engage with the Word of God. Thirdly, worship and pray in the Holy Ghost.
Amen?
Amen. Because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what?
In spirit
and in truth. Hallelujah. Listen for his voice. Obey his promptings. Invite him to lead your life. So, communication. Communion. Number three is connection. I think I'm going to have time for all four. You listen so fast, you're doing so good. This must be the graduated class. Amen. Connection. Everyone say communication.
Communication.
Communion.
Communion.
And then connection.
Connection.
Connection. And we see this in the Gospel of John in chapter 15. So I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears fruit, beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth what?
More.
Anybody ever experienced the purgings of the Lord?
Amen.
I'll raise both hands.
Yes.
Purging is good.
Yes.
It's good to get rid of those things that are not necessary.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 3, now you are clean. I like that.
Yes.
Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it what? Except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Next verse. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth a little bit of fruit. No, he brings forth much fruit. You know this and I know this, for without him we can do nothing. Read verse 6 with me if you would please. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall. He didn't say it might be done unto you. He said it shall be done unto you. Glory to God. I'm looking for a group of people that want to have a shall be done unto you in their life. The key is abide in him. Live in him. Dwell in him. And let his word live big in you. Verse 7. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Read verse 11 with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Where does this fullness of joy come from? This fullness of joy comes by abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Love, joy, peace, he has made them mine. That's an old song. Abiding in the vine. He said, I have gone through this dissertation. I have spoken to you these things. Amen. That my joy not only remain in you, but that you may receive fullness of joy. Woo, Lord God. So notice there's two things he keeps bringing up. Abiding and bearing fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we do not have the Kenneth Woos translation, but I have it at home. And the Kenneth Woos translation from verses 1 through 11, I won't read it all to you. But the theme here is, in the Woos translation is, glory to God. Maintain a living communion with me. Everyone say maintenance.
Maintenance.
Maintenance. Maintain a living communion with me. That's what abide means. I believe the Master is saying, do the maintenance on it. How many of you know, even the closest relationships that we have need maintenance?
Yes,
I mean, even the ones that started out like a whirlwind in the honeymoon. You may not have ever heard of Johnny Cash and June Carter. But they had a song and it went like this. We got married in a fever. Hotter than a pepper sprout. But we've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. What's that mean? The whirlwind means they were passionate. Remember the days your marriage was passionate? Do you remember your first love? Come on, somebody. They were passionate. Why? Because they were connected. But then the fire went out. That means it's time to do some maintenance. And I believe one of the things that Jesus is saying to us this morning is this: don't let the fire go out.
Amen.
Don't let the fire go out. Abide in me. Stay in me. Stay connected. Stay in church. Stay in the Word. Stay in prayer. Stay in worship. Somebody says, I don't always feel like it. I don't even feel like preaching today. But I didn't ask my feelings. I checked my feelings at the door. And you must not be so feeling dominated. We need to be faith dominated. Abiding in the vine dominated. Glory to God. Never lag in zeal. But be ever aglow. Burning with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, don't let the fire go out. Point to yourself and say, I'm not letting the fire go out. Glory! Glory! Woo! Glory to God. Start your own fire at home. Start your own fire in the devotional time. Start your own fire in the kitchen. Start your own fire in the car. Don't wait for someone to come along and lay hands on you for the fire. The fire of God is already on the inside of you. You need to blow on it. You need to rise up and let the fire and the flame of God burn. Hallelujah. And if you'll maintain your joy, if you'll maintain this, you'll be full of joy. If there's a lack of peace in my life, I need to fix it. That means that Pastor Mark needs to do what it takes to get his mind back on him. Come on. And what's good for the goose is good for the gander, by the way. Peace is something that must be maintained. Where there's no peace, just fix it. Put a sticker on it. Admit that it's out of order. Admit it and quit it and come on up higher. Where there's no joy, fix it. You fix it with fellowship. You do the maintenance. If there's joylessness in your life, fix it. I prophesy over you today that your joyless days are over. Your anxious days are over. Your disease days are over. Your day is full of forebodings, full of looking at the future with anxiety. They're over with. Because we have learned how to fix it. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy may be full. You want to hear the last C? Are you ready to go home? I didn't get a big enough yes. Okay. No, I get it. I understand. Glory to God. I know the fire's gone out in some of you, but just stick around a little bit. Stick around a little bit longer. Glory to God. Woo, let the fire fall. Let the rain fall. Let the Holy Ghost move. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The final C is companionship. Companionship. Look at Psalms 25 verses 14 and 15. We're going to look at it in the Amplified Version. It says this: the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship him, and he will show them his covenant, and we will reveal to them its deep inner meaning. Now notice the next verse. He says, read it with me. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Read that last part. He will pluck my feet. Oh, come on. One more time and real strong. He will pluck my feet. The plucking of your feet out of the net comes as a result of your sweet, satisfying companionship and your fear of the Lord. I think some of you got it. The word secret there is confidential conversation, intimate counsel. It means close friendship. And so in these verses, fellowship here is pictured as a sweet companionship, a satisfying relationship, not just distant knowledge, not head knowledge. We don't need head knowledge. We need revelation knowledge. Knowledge that is revealed to our inner man. That's why we pray that the eyes of your understanding would be flooded with light. Oh, put your hand over your heart and pray this, Lord, that may the eyes of my heart be flooded with light. Ooh, glory to God. That's revelation. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's revelation. That's knowledge that is registered in your inner man. And it comes through companionship. And notice one of the results is he will show you his covenant and will reveal to you its deep inner meaning. Say this with me. Fellowship leads to revelation. A greater insight. A greater depth of your covenant with a covenant-keeping God. Brother Copeland wrote a book on covenant. This is a man that has revelation of blood covenant. There's so much meaning in our covenant with God, which we don't have time to go in. But I believe that God will unveil, and he will unfold this to us. Now notice with me that verse again, verse 15. He says, my eyes now are ever toward the Lord. Woo, glory to God. This is the result of fellowship. What is this saying? This is saying that I'm changing the direction of my gaze. I'm now no longer distracted by what I see here, but I am moved only by what I see down here. Hallelujah. In other words, it's possible through fellowship for you and I to change our gaze. And for us to be more focused on him in every area of our life. And here's the good news. It's been good news all day. This is a good church. And in a good church, y'all have some good news. Aren't you glad we didn't come up here this morning and give you some bad news? There's enough bad news out there. We don't need any bad news in the church. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of God is the power of God unto deliverance. Here's the good news. He's going to pluck my feet. The enemy's got all sorts of traps. He's got all sorts of things that want to bring us back into bondage. But oh, thank God, he's going to take your feet. He's going to pluck your feet right out of the net. What this is saying to me, this is fellowship produces deliverance. The net symbolizes the traps of the enemy. The snares of sin. The snares of debt. The snares of circumstances. But oh, thank God, you and I, we're living in communication with him. We're living in communion with him. Amen. We're living in companionship with him. And we're connected to him. And he's revealing unto us his covenant. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And it is all connected to fellowship. It's 11:19, by the way. Let's stand up and praise the Lord some more. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's going to take your feet out of the net. Hallelujah. And there are some of you here this morning that you are trapped. You are ensnared by the snare of the fowler. And I believe what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you today, that if you will make the quality decision to live in koinonia, I will cause your feet to be free. I will pluck you right out of your current situation, all because you have said yes to me. Yes, Lord, yes. Oh, come on. Tell the Lord yes. No, 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 no. No more drugs. No more alcohol. No more pornography. Uh-uh. None of that. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, sweetie. I know you got something. Glory, 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 glory. You're going to pluck your feet right out of the net. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And our responsibility is obviously to act upon the Word of
That's right.
God.
Yeah.
And to take our eyes off of people and off of situations
yeah.
and off of circumstances and stop saying, oh, that person did this and that person did that. No masi brota. People are not our problem. People are not our problem. Isobrata. Oh, my. But ininimo subreta. Oh, keep your eyes on me, says the Lord. Look unto me.
Yeah.
And stop ikirise. Stop allowing what other people have done and what other people have said to get you out of that place of rich fellowship with me. No one should take the place. Do me. In your heart. And even though people may have done you wrong and people may have hurt you, stop allowing yourself to harbor that hurt and that resentment. As Pastor was preaching, I was looking at this scripture in John 14:27 out of the Amplified, just the last part of that. Anyway, all of it. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I now give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Don't allow your hearts to be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And this is a part that stood out to me, and I believe this is for people listening. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And don't permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. But I just kept, oh, it's like I was hearing it in my heart when Pastor was preaching. Somebody says this all the time. That is so disturbing. Those people disturb me. They agitate me. That's not the right thing to be saying. We need to be nahabrosabaka. So hibareta, if that's you, just raise your hand. If you just continually are saying that, ooh, they agitate me. Ooh, they disturb me. Don't do that anymore. In the name of Jesus, don't let a person rob you of this rich koinonia and this rich fellowship that we have with Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pull up that verse again. Psalm 25:15. Glory to God. Psalm 25:15. Read it with me. For my eyes are ever toward the Lord. He will pluck my feet. Now, when your feet are plucked out of the net, you should be doing some rejoicing. But now listen to this. If your feet are currently in the net and trapped in it, I believe that Habakkuk chapter 3, and let's pull that up, verse 16 and verse 17 and 18 describes this, and it describes your situation. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labor of olive oil shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. We could say that this person's feet have been snared. They're in a net. But I believe that the answer, at least for this morning and for the rest of this service, is found in verse 18. Yet, I had a tough week. Yet, I yielded to sin, yet. I was mean to my wife, yet. See, God wants to take your feet out of that trap. And it begins by repentance. And it begins by an acknowledgement saying, Lord, forgive me for acting like a fool. That prayer will work. And in the midst of the turmoil, he said, yet, he said, I will rejoice. In other words, you have to have your will involved in this if you're going to be free and stay free. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my deliverance. Verse 19, read it with me. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. So I want to invite all of you today to do a little bit of rejoicing, or a lot of rejoicing in the house. No matter what your circumstance is, the Bible says you can count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, tests, and trials. So let's just start out by lifting up our hands, and let's shout to the Lord, and let's do some rejoicing this morning.